Jesus tonight. Amen. So kind of in an overview of the whole course tonight, the nature and purpose of the gifts, a good place to start whenever you're dealing with a topic in Scripture is to just identify where in the Bible is that topic talked about. It's the very basic way to go about it, but there's really four passages that you see in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. And the mother of all those, of course, is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And that's where you'll see the bulk of the gifts. In that, those three chapters, we actually get 14 gifts laid out in those chapters. And the interesting thing about the 1 Corinthians passage is those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. So these are 14 gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, as outlined in those three passages. I'll just overview them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, that ends up being repeated twice in there, miracles, repeated twice, prophecy, discerning spirits or distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and we spent a whole night in the last course on tongues and interpretation of tongues. So for time, I'm not going to go into that in this course, but I really would encourage you, watch the video online or listen to the audio of that course, because that's really an important part, but I didn't want to duplicate just from time. And then it talks about apostles and prophets and teachers, the gift of helping, and the gift of administration. So those are 14 gifts you see in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. An additional scripture that has a lot to do with gifts is Ephesians chapter 4. And it's interesting that 1 Corinthians gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, but the gifts in Ephesians 4 are given by Jesus. So we kind of see a pattern developing, you know. Holy Spirit's giving gifts, Jesus giving gifts. And there's four gifts, or five, depending on how you count them. In Ephesians 4, there's apostles. That also came up in 1 Corinthians 12. We mentioned that. Prophets, 1 Corinthians 12. Evangelists, and what I would say shepherd teachers. I think it's the same thing, but it could be shepherds and teachers, depending. There's either four or five, depending on how you count that last one. And that also, teachers also shows up in 1 Corinthians 12. And then the third place you'll find scriptural gifts is in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, and there's seven gifts there. And I was really hoping that these gifts were given by the Father. I mean, wouldn't that be a perfect, wow, the Holy Spirit gives gifts and Jesus gives gifts. This is the teacher in me and God gives gifts. Well, I'm sure that God's laughing at me because it just says God gives these gifts. So I can't say it's the Father, but Romans 12, 3 to 8, there's seven gifts there. Prophecy, we've already heard about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Serving, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, and mercy. Those ones show up in 1 Corinthians 12. And then there's a small passage in 1 Peter 4, just a couple of verses, again, given by God. It doesn't specify which member of the Trinity, but given by God, the gift of speaking and the gift of serving, which, of course, is duplicated back in Romans. So there's some of these passages hit some of these gifts at different places. So those are the four primary passages, and we'll be looking through each of those each week as we come to the appropriate gifts and talking about them. But there's four places in the New Testament where you see the gifts. So what is a spiritual gift? Probably a good place to start with that is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Probably one of the clearest places to go there to answer that question. First Corinthians 12, 4 says, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And this word is the word charisma in the Greek language, was what the New Testament was written in. And when we think about charisma now, when we use that term, we talk about, you know, a politician, wow, he's really a charismatic personality, or, you know, that business leader, they really have a charismatic, we mean somebody who has, you know, fills the room when they walk in, or whatever we mean by charisma. The biblical understanding of charisma is different. It's a grace gift. It's something given by God. It's a grace, a gift, or a favor. That's that word charisma. So at the very basic, what we're talking about, spiritual gifts are grace gifts given by God. They come, and it's also interesting in terms of some of the reality of where those things are, we see as we look through, and we won't look at the whole thing tonight because we're kind of overview mode, but we'll get back to some of these. These gifts are a free gift from God. Okay, it's God's sovereign choice that he gives these gifts and who he gives them to. They're not earned. So we don't be really, really good Christians and then God gives us a gift because we're so good. They're not deserved in the sense that, wow, only the really, really cool people get them. No. Like if you're really spiritual, you get gifts, but the rest of us don't. No. God distributes them. As a matter of fact, it says God gives to each one. They don't make you more important than anybody else. So if you have a gift, anybody goes, wow, that person's really, really spiritual. It doesn't make you more valuable in the body of Christ than anybody else. In our society, we confuse role and value. What I mean by that is the guy with the corner office on the top floor, he has the role, but he also has a greater value than the guy who's the janitor who cleans up the office at night when everybody's gone. But in the kingdom of God, role and value are not equated. So we have different roles, but we all have the same value. We're all directly children, sons or daughters of God. So the kingdom of God, of course, is very different. So these spiritual gifts don't make us more important than anybody else. If you want to look at Romans 12, 3-5, which is one of our main passages, just a good little overview of that. Romans 12, 3-5 says, this is Paul speaking, "For by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So no matter what your gift is or how visible or how powerful it is, don't think you're too important on that, but think with sober judgment. And my understanding of that is sober judgment means I didn't earn this thing. I didn't work for it. It's a gift of God's anyway. So why would I want to think I'm puffed up or more important? It's a gift from God. That's sober judgment, I think. "Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So there's an idea that there may be different levels of gifting in the church in terms of, you know, how people operate in the gifts. And that's okay. That's God's choice. We're not comparing ourselves to each other. "For as in one body we have many members, and many members do not hold the same function, so though are many, we are one in the body of Christ and individually members of each other." So they don't make us more important than anyone else. We don't say, "Wow, I wish I had that gift. I don't really like the one I have." You know, God is a good gift giver. He chooses why he does what he does. You don't get to choose the gifts you get. Back to hopping around 12:11, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Clear how the distribution gets made. It's not like A through M and M through Z or anything like that, Z through Z. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this. "Speaking of all the gifts, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who appoints to each one individually as he wills." So God makes the choice about where these gifts are given and who gets what and how they operate. Spiritual gifts don't necessarily relate to personality or temperament or education. Because somebody is a really good banker doesn't mean that person has the gift of giving, for instance. Or if somebody is a school teacher and they have an educational background and they teach all day long, it doesn't mean they would have the spiritual gift of teaching. Somebody can have a very, very great challenge in stuttering or a speech impediment and have an amazing teaching gift. I've seen that before. So the gifts don't necessarily relate to our temperament and personality. Again, they're individually, sometimes they line up, but other times they don't. And the gifts are given to glorify God. 1 Peter 4, if you want to go there, 4:11, that's the one, the smallest of the four passages. Just a good little insight in kind of what the point of these, one of the points of these gifts is. Why does God give these? In 4:11, after speaking of the gifts, he says, "In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So when the gifts are getting used, when we're walking and understanding our gifts and utilizing them in the body and the community, God should get the glory for that. That's one of the signs that you're operating in a gift is people don't go, "Wow, you're really cool." They go, "Wow, God is really cool." That's a good sign of a gift. And they're a special spiritual enabling to accomplish God's work. That's the best definition I have. What is a spiritual gift? It's a special spiritual enabling to accomplish God's work. It's interesting that as Oceanside Church, if you put a label on us, I'm not into labels much, but we're probably the best thing would say we're a charismatic church is what we are. That's where this word comes from, grace gift. So, there's worse things to be called. People who love the Holy Spirit and love the gifts that God gives and one who walks in. That's not a bad label. I'll take that. But that's kind of where that background comes from the same word of gifts. So, spiritual gifts come in the context of unity and diversity. That's one of the interesting things about spiritual gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we see how the gifts differ. So we go through starting in verse 4. Let's go there just for a minute. We've got time to look at that. 1 Corinthians 4, 12, 4. I read a summary of those gifts, but there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. Variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Okay? So we see in the gifts are different. There's all those numbers that I gave you in the list. They're unique. But there's a unity in the midst of the gifts because they come from God, because they're empowered by God, and because they're given from God. They differ, but the giver remains the same. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, there's the extended analogy of the body, which we may know of. You know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. all the parts of the body we need. The elbow is not, nobody takes a family picture of the elbow, but, and puts it on the mantle. But we need that thing, So they all fit together and they all work together. And that's a beautiful picture of the spiritual gifts. They fit together and they work together under the head, the leadership of Jesus Christ. So the body is a great picture of that. So there is diversity and unity in spiritual gifts. I believe that it's real clear in 12:7 that spiritual gifts are distributed to every born-again believer. So in 12:7, we see, just where I finished, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So if you know Jesus, if you're saved, you have a spiritual gift or you have gifts in your life. And I've been thinking a lot about one, multiple, again, the teacher likes to have everything neat in me, but in reality, I think we have a mix of things. But I think as we grow and as we begin to work in our gifts, there seems to be one or two that kind of rise in our life over time, and we kind of think, that's sort of a predominant gifting in my life. But every believer has that. The scripture is very clear. So at the time that you're saved, you have a spiritual gift in Jesus. Spiritual gifts, the purpose, are given to strengthen and to build up those around us. So we see that. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 7, 12:7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And in 1 Peter 4, 10, we see that same thing again. Let's just look at that. First Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So the purpose of the gifts are not primarily for us. They're for other people. They're for the benefit and for the encouragement of those around, for the building up of those around us, in the church and outside of the church. So it's not, I used the illustration when I started of kind of a Christmas opening or wrapping. It's good in that sense that there's a thrill of that, and wow, you chose that for me, and I love it, that kind of thing. But where that analogy goes wrong is it's like if you see a little kid, this is my toy, and, heaven help the sister or brother if they try to, play with it. No, spiritual gifts are not like that. They're not given for us to hold on to. They're actually given for us to use. They're actually more like carpenter's tools than gifts. And that's a good illustration. I brought some of my hand tools tonight, just some of my basic stuff. But, if you've done any building, you know the variety of what's in here. There's all kinds of stuff for all kinds of different purposes. Things do different things. This is a lousy hammer, but if you need to take a little bit of material off some wood, it works good for that. Also good for cheese grating. Don't tell Dina that. It's called a cheese grater. So there's these various things, and some of these, if you have never done construction, might not be real familiar for you. This was actually my grandfather's, Ed. I love that. I remember that about him. But this is a chalk line. You might not know what to do with that, but if you know what to do with a chalk line, it's a super powerful tool to have in your arsenal. You might not know what that is, but this is a great tool for what it's used for. So as you grow in your carpentry and as your experience and you begin to be able to see the value of those tools, one of those tools on its own doesn't really do much. It's effective for one thing. But when you have this box of tools and you go to a project, you learn as you get more skilled as a craftsperson to reach in for the particular tool that is used for that. And I can tell you that you know an inexperienced person when they use the wrong tool in the wrong place. This is a $30 chisel that is sharp, that's kept carefully for a particular purpose, a chisel. You know, one of my shall remain unnamed son-in-laws grabbed this and was about to pry a nail out. I said, no, wait, that's a very expensive sharp chisel. I said, don't use that. Take the cat's paw and, you know. You know, whenever she wants me to get something done around the house and I'm dragging my feet, Dina's like, oh, what's in here? Let's just have a look at this. No, stop, I'll do it. So particular tools are used for particular purposes. And that's actually a really good illustration of how the spiritual gifts work. If you think about God as the master carpenter, you know, when he's doing things, when he's accomplishing things in the community, in the kingdom, when he's doing things in his local church, he reaches in and says, what I need right now is this, you know, for this particular purpose. And then a little bit later, I need this, you know, and I need this, and that has to go with something else, and the two of them relate together. So it's a good picture of what spiritual gifts are. They're not for us to have and to say, look at my little thing, and I keep it in the closet, and I, you know, peek in there and go, wow, how cool is that? This is mine. And no, the whole point of the gifts is to get out and to be used in cooperation with the rest of the body. And I tell you, it's such an excitement to me in times in my past in ministry and in church life, and I'm sure many of you can say that, and it's very exciting at Oceanside. When I see the body starting to work together, it's so fun when you see the gifts starting to come together, and just the very time you need someone in a particular spiritual area, they just walk up, and here God has them and has them in this place, and you see us all working together, accomplishing the job that God has, and that's just such an amazing, amazing blessing. So that's just an overview of the gifts in terms of what God has designed the gifts for, how he's utilized the gifts for us. We're going to start to take time now after break and go into specific gifts. And like we see, some nights we've got 2, 3, sometimes 4 gifts we'll go into, because there's more material biblically than other times. Some are a little more confusing than others. But we're going to just sort of take a tool out or two each night and be able to look at it and say, this is what it's for. This is how God uses it. And then hopefully my prayer is that you might be able to say, you know, wow, that kind of rings a bell for me. I didn't know what was happening in my life, but that sounds like what you're talking about. And we can begin to maybe match you up with people that have that gift and maybe walked in a little farther than you have. That can encourage you and say, hey, so cool. Let me show you how this works, and let me encourage you in that and walk through and pray for you in that gift and see that mature. So that's really where we're going in the weeks ahead. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these gifts. I thank you for the beautiful toolbox. I'm sitting here looking at this toolbox, and I'm looking out at this group, and I just see so many connections. And Lord, I pray for amazing discoveries in the weeks ahead. And Lord, we thank you for your gifts, Lord, and give us insight and wisdom into them.